like you to take your Bible, please, and turn to the Old Testament book of Joshua, chapter 1. We'll look at verse 8, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Appreciate you praying for me. And I think I'm improving, getting stronger. Of course, I need to get stronger all over, especially in the inner man, but especially on the left side down the foot. But I'm working on it, and I appreciate you praying. Evelyn says I'm doing better, so that's good. She sees me every day. And I'm riding a bicycle better. That's good. You afraid I'm going to fall off of it? Need a helmet? How many of you think I need a helmet? And they agree with you. Good. But that's good exercise, isn't it? How many of you ride a bicycle? That's good. That's very good. How many of you ride a bicycle that's not stationary? How many of you ride one that's stationary? Well, I've got both kinds. So, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, we're talking about the Bible. And before we begin, I want you to divide, the two of you. And there may be four or five of you together, that's okay. But I want you to play this game and play along with me, please. And somebody will have to help Arthur back there by himself. And Ed, why don't you come and sit with Arthur just a second? Good, on the front row. Very good, thank you. Right there, there you go, good. I want one of you to be reach and one of you to be teach. Which one is reach and which one is teach? One of you has to be reach. So let's say who's going to be reach. All the reachers, raise your hand, would you please? If you're reach, would you raise your hand? Would you raise your hand? Would you raise your hand? I can still say Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers, a peck of pickled pepper, Peter Piper picked. If Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers, where's a peck of pickled pepper, Peter Piper picked? So I tried to keep it moving, but the R's get hard sometimes, so I need one of those. So how many of you are reach? Would you raise your hand, reach? Now, when people are new and they're coming in, just like the folks coming in there, Ed, tell them, whoever back there, tell us how we're playing. So if you're reach, would you raise your hand, all you reaches? Good. Good. And then teach. If you're teach, would you raise your hand, teach? Good. And who told you who to be reach and who to be teach? I don't know who the boss is here in each of these groups. Just kidding about that. I'm just about got it all figured out anyway. But look at this verse, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. The Bible says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Now, I can see to read that, but the light is not really, really good here, honestly. If you wonder why I've started using these glasses, well, the light's getting worse. they've all known back there for a while that my hearing is not exactly what it should be. But now they think the man's going blind, too. But anyway, I can still see you back there. Who is that back there? All right. Notice this, please. This book of the law, that's the word of God, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And notice, please, all of that is one side of it. And then the natural result of doing what's written in the Word of God is then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. That's what we're helping people do, make their way prosperous. Prosperity has to do with more than money. God taught us that in many places in His Word. Even the people who came out of Egypt were 40 years without shoes wearing out and clothes wearing out. I mean, it's pretty good when your refrigerator stays working, doesn't it? That can help you be prosperous. Our friend, Dr. Tom Malone, believed that God healed his refrigerator to save him money. He told the story about praying over it and anointing it and asking God to heal it, bring it back to life. And he said, sure enough, it started running again and it never quit. God wants to get involved in every part of our lives, all right? And make thy way prosperous, and then, notice there's two thens, then thou shalt have good success. Everyone has their measure of success. They say, this is going to be successful. If we do this, we're going to be successful. But God says success must be preceded by his word. By knowing his word, reading his word, memorizing his word, meditating on his word. This has been God's way for his people always. And I'm going to talk to you about the Sunday school. There are two basic things the Sunday school is doing. Reaching people, and teaching them the word of God. How many of you are reachers? Would you raise your hand if you're Mr. Reach or Mrs. Reach or Miss Reach or whoever you are reaching? Would you raise your hand? Reach. Now, most of us get the idea that all we're doing is teaching because you don't have no one to teach. How many of you teach? Would you raise your hand? You have no one to teach if they're not being reached. Now, so we develop a Sunday school. I want you to write this down somewhere if you're writing things down. The Sunday school can be defined as the church organized to function. The church organized to function. How many of you believe that? The church is organized to function. Some churches aren't organized well to function. I had a pastor come here not long ago, sat right there. And he said, I want to talk to you sometime because I need some administrative help. I need to get my church organized. And I'm thinking all the time, why would you want it organized? The only reason I would want one organized is so it can function. I don't believe the church is about me speaking and you listening. I don't believe that. I've said to you many times, I don't speak to be heard, I speak to be repeated. So many things come out of that. I believe the church is not for me to speak and you to listen. The church is for all of us to obey the Lord, to know his word and obey the Lord. On a daily basis to obey the Lord. And God is really no bigger in our lives than we've allowed the Bible to be in our lives. So in the Sunday school, we're teaching the word of God. If you go to the average bookstore today, the average bookstore, that's a Christian bookstore, they're filled with everything imaginable except Bible helps. They have some Bible helps. Most of it today is music because they know where the money is. And then also other games to get people interested during a time period they've set aside, as they call it, Sunday school. It's a time period. And they know we've got to fill that period, so they have everything from watching videos of Barney and Mayberry, literally, I Love Lucy, trying to get some sort of lesson from I Love Lucy or Barney and Mayberry or whatever the case may be. The stuff's available. You can go buy it. But God has charged us to know his word, to know his word by reading his word, memorizing his word, meditating on his word, and obeying his word. The truth of the matter is, there are times when just one phrase from the Bible has pulled me back to reality and put my feet on solid ground. How many of you have had the same thing happen? Just part of a verse sometimes. Greater is he that's in you. Just part of a verse has gotten a hold of my heart and helped me. So now we've got all the people in the world that need to be reached. How many of you reach? Would you raise your hand, reach? All of you need to be reached. Would it be too much trouble to have you reach this stand just for a moment where you are and look at me? I want to see how much participation we've got going on here. If you're Mr. and Miss Reach, let's imagine you are unreached, okay? You are unreached. You got it? You are unreached. How do we reach you? We want to teach you the Bible, but we have to reach you first to teach you the Bible. If we don't reach you, we can't teach you. So there has to be a wholehearted effort into reaching you so we can teach you the Bible. The Sunday school is about reaching and teaching, not just teaching, but reaching and teaching. And the wholehearted effort we need is to reach people to teach them the Word of God. Thank you for helping me. You may be seated. Now, if we're going to teach you, how are we going to teach you? We're going to teach you the Bible. If you were a 5-year-old child, we wouldn't necessarily deal with you the same way we deal with a 50-year-old. And so our Sunday school is divided into 4 divisions. Now, here's the idea. Let's imagine this side of this pulpit is reaching. Okay? What is it over here? Reaching. And this side of this pulpit is teaching. Someone said to me when we designed this pulpit, they watched, you know, on the video and watch on the live stream and all that kind of thing. And they comment to me when they see me and said, "Oh, it was a masterful thing for you to build that pulpit the way you built it so you can hold on that rail now that you have to hobble around everywhere." I said, "I didn't have any idea I'd be hobbling around when we built this thing like this." Of course, God did. But reaching and teaching, but I can walk without holding on to it, but I don't get any sympathy unless I hobble around a little bit. It's like using that cane. I use it. I could walk without it. I may fall. I've fallen several times, but I don't get any sympathy if I don't have that cane with me. And it's sympathy so sweet, isn't it? So we got reaching and teaching, right? So let's reach someone out here that's 23 years old. How old is this person we're reaching? 23 years old. Now I want to teach him. I want to tell him or her, let's say it's him, I want to tell him we've got a Bible class for you where you can be taught the Word of God, taught how to live. Now he doesn't know now that we've got that class so we can organize our church to function. We're going to need people to visit shut-ins and speak to people about the Lord and do soul winning and sing in the choir and serve as ushers and help senior citizens and visit the nursing homes. So we got to know we got an organization over here, and it's a Sunday school functioning. But he doesn't know that. So I've got, you're 23 years old. We've got a class of peers who are your age, have the same interest you have. And we'd like to put you in a Sunday school class, a Bible class here, and where you who have been reached can get over here where we're teaching, reaching and teaching. So ideally, no matter who we meet out there that we're reaching, no matter who we're meeting, it might be a family, a young family, 20 years old with 2 little babies. It might be someone who's 65 years old and recently widowed. No matter who we reach, we want to design the Sunday school so that there is a place for that person in the Bible teaching Sunday school. So we can say with a free heart, fully persuaded, lots of enthusiasm, there's a place for you in our church. And they may say, "Oh, that church is too big for me." Wait a minute. But there's a small group where they know the Lord and they fellowship. Because basically 3 things are going on in that class. Reaching, teaching, 3 things going on in the class. Would you like to write them down? 3 things. Okay? There is fellowship in this class. Fellowship. What is in this class? Let's say that. Good. And so many things, not just in the class, but many things that come out of the class. You may have an outing, a prayer meeting. You may have something after church. You may have something in people's homes. You may, there's just all kinds of things you can talk about. Fellowship. Ways to fellowship. Friendship comes out of that, doesn't it? Yes? Good. So there's all kinds of, it's not just what happens in the class. Now the class is a time to meet, to do some things. It's like praying. How many of you have heard public prayer? You heard public prayer a moment ago, right? When someone led in prayer for Zonda. Is that correct? Public prayer. But public prayer is not all the praying we do. If it were, we'd be failures, worse failures than we are at prayer, right? So now, the fellowship in the class on Sunday is not all the fellowship we do. That's part of it. Then there is promotion. Promotion. Now, I'm not talking about promotion the way you're thinking about it. I'm talking about the things we want to emphasize. We want to emphasize the church services. We want to emphasize Bible reading. We want to emphasize studying the Bible lesson. We want to emphasize following up the Bible lesson. We want to promote the idea that we're supporting missionaries worldwide. Correct? So many things come under that. So many things. We'll promote the prayer meeting, promote praying for one another, encouraging one another. There's so many things we can promote in all of that. That's what we're doing. If you think, I need to talk about this and we've got to help somebody, that's where it's going to happen in that group. Then the third thing in that class, and we're making big categories, we'll have to define these things, is Bible teaching. Bible teaching. Now, it ought to be interesting. It ought to be to the point. I try to write all the Bible lessons that we use, at least in our teens and adults. I started doing that years ago. So we're teaching the Bible. And what I'm looking at all the time while we're teaching the Bible is, if we look at the Bible, look at your Bible, it's a book about God. And every book of the Bible, there's 66 of them, every book in the Bible tells something about God that is distinct. For instance, you take the little book of Obadiah. It tells us something that the book of Jeremiah doesn't specifically speak to. But it's about God. Obadiah is about how God deals with pride. And we study about Edom and the Edomites and Petra and all that kind of thing, and how people are lifted up against God and how God deals with pride. And we try to see pride in our own lives and know the Lord will deal with that. And this is how he deals with it. So every book of the Bible tells us something we need to know about God. And of course, much of it is repeated. It's a book about God. So when I'm looking at the Bible lessons, I'm thinking we're trying to tell people about God in our Bible study in the Sunday school. We're fellowshipping one another, getting better acquainted. If we're going to fellowship one another, we need to get accurate information. It's so foolish of us not to have good Sunday school records. Now we have emails. Now we have other ways to contact people on a mobile phone. Lots of things like that. And all that information is so we can encourage one another and help one another, and fellowship with one another. That's all in Sunday school. Remember, it's the church organized to function. So the Bible class basically has three parts. It is what? Fellowship. What? Promotion. And Bible teaching. Now, we may use many different methods teaching the Bible, and we may talk about many different things in the time of fellowship, not just getting records about people and saying good morning to one another. And there are things we want to promote. For example, we're having a youth congress in a few weeks. We want to promote that. It's everybody's business to try to help young people. We want to promote the Vacation Bible School. It's our opportunity to do something with children like no other time in the year for an entire week concentrated on children, not interrupted with 6 days between Bible lessons like Sunday school, but Bible lessons Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. See what I mean? Very good. Now, let's talk about this. The Sunday school doesn't just meet at 9:30. We have three Sunday schools. I want you to write, we have three Sunday schools. Would you do that? We could have many more. But they fall in three categories. We have a Sunday school that we call Sunday school at 9:30 on Sunday morning. We try to get everybody in it. Sunday school. And it is for all age groups to reach and teach. We'll talk about that in a moment. Then we have a second hour Sunday school. We were in the first hour, now we have the second hour. Because when we leave the teaching rooms, Those rooms are used a second time in a second hour by people. Different people, same rooms, but different people, a second hour Sunday school. And there are hundreds of people who are in that second hour Sunday school. And then we have a third Sunday school we call the second coming of the Sunday school. I want you to know that. I really want you to know that. And right now, in the second coming of the Sunday school, we have 160 classes in the second coming of the Sunday school. Now, what are we doing there? In the second coming of the Sunday school, what we're doing is taking the same Bible lesson that we teach on Sunday, and it's coming again during the week. So we say the second coming of the Sunday school during the week. Some of them are in office buildings, some of them in school buildings, some of them are in nursing homes. But it's the second coming of the Sunday school. Now, we could have hundreds of those. It just depends on laborers. Jesus said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Laborers. So let's review now. What is our textbook for the Sunday school? Someone tell. The Bible. What is our textbook for the Sunday school? What is it? Can we teach people without reaching people? Yes or no? No. We have to have a strong element reaching. And then we need a place for every person we've reached so that person can be taught the Bible. Now, if we don't organize the Sunday school properly in teaching, how many of you are teaching? Would you raise your hand? Come on. If we don't organize it properly, then we won't be able to tell some people when we meet them and witness to them and reach them where they can be here and be taught the Word of God. It's important to me that we do that. It's important to you that we do that. Because in that class of like-minded people, people are going to learn to make friends and friendships and fellowship. They're going to hear promotion about certain things that will be helpful to them. And they're going to be taught a Bible lesson and have an opportunity to teach the Bible lesson themselves. They can teach it in their home. That's a whole other thing. Don't click the pen, son. That's just a nervous habit. Put it up so you won't click it. Thank you. Sometimes you start doing that when I'm preaching, and I know and I love you. And I just like to take down there and take that pen away from you and write all over you, "Don't click the pen on your bald head." Or maybe I should write it on Joseph's bald head so you can read it. Or maybe I should write it backwards so when you look in the mirror, you can read it. See? So, good. It's just a nervous habit. We've all got them. Good. All right. Hey, look, light up a little bit. It's all right. We're going to live through this. No problem. Reaching and teaching. Sunday school. What is the Sunday school? It is the church what? Organized to function. Let's say it again. What is the Sunday school? It is the... All right, now, let's talk about this. We have a church membership role. How many of you are on our church membership role? You're members of this church. Raise your hand. You don't just attend, you're a member. What does that mean? It means you agree with a body of truth. You agree with a body of truth. For example, you may go to a church in this community today that has no name. Typically, when it has no name, it has no body of truth. I know a church in this community right now that has no name. You ask them, "What kind of church is it?" They said, "We don't know." Ask the members who go there, they'll say, "We don't know." You ask, "Is it a Bible church?" They say, "We don't know." Is it a Baptist church? We don't know. Is it a Methodist church? We don't know. It happens to be a Methodist church. That's their business. And I say to them, "How do you baptize?" They say, "We don't know." Some of them may say, "Some people baptize by sprinkling, some baptize by immersion. It's just whatever the people want." Is it good to do whatever the people want or what the Bible says? You tell me. I'm just asking you. You tell me. You know, how many of you make a cake from scratch? You ever made a cake from scratch? Would you raise your hand? I'm not talking about putting an egg and water in Betty Crocker, but you've ever made a cake from scratch. Would you raise your hand? Good. Then you have to have a recipe and ingredients, correct? How many of you ever taught anyone to cook something from scratch? Would you raise your hand? Well, you don't just throw it out there, you know? I know some people say we don't measure, but you do measure. You measure by sight. And there's certain ingredients, and there's certain times things ought to be added. You see, we have got so much short-term, listen to me, so much short-term church today. No wonder people are leaving, because it's short-term. It's all short-term. You can't pass it on to the next generation. Did you hear me? You can't pass it on to the next generation because the generation that's getting it doesn't know what they're getting, what it's all about. They're just having a good time. To be a member of a church means that you agree with a body of truth in that church. It means that you place your life as a Christian and your influence in that local assembly or that body. It is Christ's body on earth, and you place your life in it. Now, every member of our church is enrolled in Sunday school. You may not know it, but you are. Guess what? What did we do when you joined the church? We made sure some Sunday school class was responsible for you, and you were enrolled in that class. As specific as it can be, means as helpful as it can be. If it's not specific at all, then it's not as helpful. But then there are many people enrolled in the Sunday school who are not members of the church. How many of you have children who are 3 years old or younger? Would you raise your hand? Your children are enrolled in Sunday school. They're not members of this church. And there are some of you, I don't want to embarrass you, some of you have a loved one, a husband or wife that's not a member of the church, but they're enrolled in Sunday school. So the largest organizational structure we have like that is the Sunday school. Now the largest organizational structure we should have is one other organization. It should be Prospects for the Sunday school. It should be. Because there are over 300,000 people in Knox County, 300,000 just in Knox County, who are not in church. We need to know as much as possible about who those people are and go to them and say, we'd like to have you in a class where you can hear the Bible and fellowship with God's people, learn about God and His Word and what God wants you to do with your life. That's the Sunday school, you see. Okay, so I'm going to ask some questions now before we go on. I want you to discuss these things. Don't answer me before you discuss it with your partner. What two parts will we be talking about in the Sunday school? Discuss it with your partner. You got it? Someone tell me what they are. Reaching and teaching. Very good. Now I'm going to give you something else. What three things are we trying to do basically in the Sunday school? What three things? Now, don't tell me. Talk it out. Three things we're trying to have what? And what? And what? So someone tell me. What's the first thing? Fellowship. What? Second thing? Motion. And what? Bible teaching. Now, many things come out of the fellowship and many things out of the... Very good. We can promote soul winning, visitation, anything you want to promote, but that's that. Now, we don't need to spend all the time fellowshipping and promoting it. We don't have time for the Bible, right? Now, here's a hard one, so discuss it with your partner. How many Sunday schools do we have, and what are they? Come on now, what are they? What is the first one? The first hour? What's the second one? The second hour. What's the third one? All right, now discuss this with your partner, please. We have one textbook for all Sunday schools. What is it? Discuss it now. All together, it is what? The Bible. That's correct. That's the Bible. Now, what I'm going to do as the pastor is initiate a Sunday school launch. Launching it again. And I'm going to have, among these divisions, I want you to write these divisions. I said, there, how many divisions in the Sunday school? Anybody remember? How many? Four. They are the preschool division. Let's say that together. Preschool division. Who would you imagine being that, enrolled in that? Preschoolers. Everyone from 5 years old down. Okay? Then there is the children's division. Who do you imagine would be in the children's division? The children, first through sixth grade. The youth or student division, the youth division or teen division, seventh through 12th grade. That's three. The fourth one is the adult division. Now, the adults can get squirrely about this because you're not really an adult when you turn 18, but we call you an adult. But everything from adults, which means young singles, career singles, young marrieds, older marrieds, all the way through to the grave. Our people who are in nursing homes are enrolled in Sunday school here. We keep up with them, even though they don't meet with us here. How many think that's a good idea that we keep up with them? We do. And that requires someone minister to them. So if I meet, well, how many divisions in the Sunday school? If I meet someone, you tell me, shout it out. If I meet someone who's in the fourth grade, what division should they be in? If I meet a family and they're 27, 29 years old, the two of them, husband and wife, and they've got a child, a boy that's 2 years old and a girl that's 3 years old, where should the boy and girl be? And where should the husband and wife be? Adult division. All right. Now, when we go over here to the adult division, if we have a young couples group that's 20s and 30s, where should they be in the adults? In the 20s and 30s, correct? If I go over here and I have a special class in the preschool that's just for two-year-olds. Actually, I have a special class at preschool that's for birth to 5 months. And then the second part of the year, I have a class and workers. There should be anyone we meet here, we should be able to enroll in a class there. Got it? Now, who are the natural people to be visiting and helping that crowd? Who are the natural people? The people who do what here? Work with that group, right? Yes or no? Yes. You know what? This may be the smartest church in America. You're smart. You're intelligent. You're learning. Now, why in the world would I have a Sunday school? Because the Bible says that to learn the Bible and obey the Bible, I hope you get this, to learn the Bible and obey the Bible, God will make you prosperous and give you success. How many of you know that the greatest deficit in learning we have in America is in learning God's Word? That's what the Sunday school is doing. So if I say we're going to have a new launch here, a launch. Now here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a promotional person over the preschool that's not involved with the preschool now. Someone standing here and saying, are we doing all the things necessary to reach people? Then let's get together the team and try to do that. Hey, hey, do we have the summer plan for people for this age group? What do we got going on for them? I'm going to have a promotional person doing that. Like a cheerleader over here who's got a little sense. All right? Doesn't mean that all cheerleaders don't have sense. I'm just saying this one does, okay? All right? Sometimes the cheerleaders are the dumb blondes, right? But many blondes are not dumb. The ones I know are very intelligent. Can I go to the next thing now quickly? So then we're going to have a promotional person. Look, I just like to have a sense of humor because I think it's so dull not to be able to laugh, honestly. I think here is a person over the children's division is going to be a promotional person on the children's division. They're going to say, second graders, what do you got for second graders going on this summer? What are we doing to promote sixth graders and fifth graders and encourage them? All right? Then I'm going to put a promotional chairman over the teens. That's not involved the teens now. And say, hey, buddy, what do we got going on for teenagers? And what's good for them? And how many wonderful things we have happening for them? Then I'm going to get a promotional person. I'm about to throw a monkey wrench in this, so watch it. Over the adults. And we're going to talk about single adults and married adults. Now, we have some special things going on. The way some people would like to do all internationals is separate them. I don't like that. Let's imagine we have someone who has a special need, a special need. And the special needs person, we may have a special needs time or class, but as much as possible, if that special needs person is 11 years old, they need to make as many friends as they possibly can with 11-year-old kids. How many of you have a special interest in special needs people? I don't want you to raise your hand if you don't now. Please don't be foolish about it. But special needs, would you raise your hand? Anyone have that? Would you stand, please? Sometime, somewhere, somehow, God is going to allow us to start a major, major thing with special needs children. One out of 57 babies born to a family today is autistic. Christians ought to be the first people involved in that. And other things too. Please help me pray about that. Now, when we go to Sunday school next Sunday morning at 9:30, you expect that the launch team is going to be in place. Some cheerleader is going to be helping. A few things have been changed around. Your class, nah, don't worry about it. If your class is functioning, nobody's going to try to change your class around. But we like to put as much life in it as possible. So let me ask one more time. If I call on you, you could tell me, what two things are we doing in the Sunday school? We are reaching, and how many divisions do we have in the Sunday school? And they match the kind of people and age group and interest we're going to meet anywhere we go. One of them is going to be a preschooler, a child, a youth, or an adult, right? What are we teaching in the class? The Bible. And what three things are the components of that class? Fellowship, promotion, Bible teaching. Now, many things in the fellowship and many things in the promotion, and there are many methods we can use in teaching the Bible. How many Sunday schools do we have? Three. We have one the first hour. We have one the... And we have one the second coming of the Sunday school, which means a Bible lesson being taught outside the confines of this. We've got to get this outside the walls. See these beautiful walls? We've got to get it outside the walls. We have to get it outside the walls.